Good morning. We have 44 tuning in, 44 devices tuning in right now with us, and we're glad that you are, and from places like Texas, Arizona, Arkansas, and an unknown state. And I have to say, unknown state, we're glad you're back with us. A week or two ago, I failed to mention unknown state did not show up, and so you're making a difference. We'll find out someday who you are. Anyway, it's a good day, and we're going to get into holiness part three today. It's been a good topic for us to explore. I appreciate Darren's songs this morning. You know, the more we learn about God, the deeper our worship becomes. And so this is a special time for us to be together. We've learned in this study that holiness has a couple different aspects. And so one part of holiness is that, so regarding God, God is different. He's separate. And that's one aspect of holiness. Another aspect of holiness is purity, moral purity. And so those two concepts make up what is holy. And last week we explored the fact that God is holy and we, in and of ourselves, are not. Every inclination of God's is holy. We have lots of inclinations that are not holy. And we have lots of desires that are not holy. And we are tempted. And I want to point out that there's a difference between desire / temptation and sin. And I want to remind us of that, or clarify that for us, that just because you have thoughts that are sinful or desires that are sinful, that in and of itself is not sin. That may be temptation. And now what we do with that can or cannot be sin. For example, Adam and Eve standing in front of the tree and the fruit and just staring at it and thinking about it and talking, you know, at some point when you're staring at temptation, That's a problem. To give an analogy, if food in my refrigerator that I'm not hungry, but I want to be hungry, I enjoy eating. So when I'm not hungry, if you imagine that food being sin and me walking to my refrigerator, which I did yesterday, and open that up and just look, same thing with the pantry, you know. Here's sin. Now, at some point, I get into trouble there. But what I'm saying is, just because you have desires that are wrong doesn't mean that's sinful. That means you're human. That's what human is. And so, but what we do with that is makes a difference. So this morning we're going to get into what does holiness look like? And so we're going to take steps in understanding how to become more like God. But I want to start with a great passage, Psalm 147. Psalm 147 is a great psalm, and I want to start in verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verses 10 and 11. Psalm 147, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting." Psalm starts out talking about us praising God and what a good thing that is. It is good to sing praises to our God. And then verse 10, if you look down to verse 10, "His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love." Our grandson Noah, he just turned 2. And as you might imagine, a grandchild brings joy to, you know, a grandparent. And so something he has just started doing, he has learned that if he wants you to do something, he will come to you. So he did this to me a couple days ago. I'm in my recliner. He has all his toys. So he's up and down. Toys are everywhere. He's everywhere. I'm in my recliner. But he'll come over to me and he'll grab my hand. He'll grab my fingers and say, "Come on, come on." And he'll say, "Come on, Pop-Pop." And it doesn't sound like "come on, Pop Pop." He speaks a different dialect. You could not understand what he's saying, but I know what I do know that's what he's trying to say. Him and his words aren't really good yet, but that's what he's saying. "Come on, Pop Pop." "Well, I have to get up now. I have to get up." And it gives me joy. When we fear God, let me ask you a question. Do you fear God? Do you have a deep respect for God Almighty? Do you hope in His faithful love? And if so, you bring joy to God. You put a smile on God's face. You warm God's heart. And what we're doing here this morning, starting our week by stopping our lives and coming, and there's nothing more important than what we're doing. This pleases God. Isn't that something? That you can do something to make God Almighty feel good. What an honor. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to Hebrews 12:10. This speaks about fathers disciplining their children. It says, "They disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness." And this scripture points out the fact that God wants us to share His holiness. He's holy. He wants to share that with us. Why? Because it's good. And Leviticus, this takes us back to kind of the early parts of God and His people, the Israelites. And He makes this statement, verse 26, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you." Let's stop there for a second. That's one part of holiness, separate. It's different. And God separated His people. That's part of what made them holy. They were separated from the rest of humanity. So He said, "I've separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." These two words, "be mine," around Valentine's Day, you'll see these two words on lots of things. "Would you be my Valentine?" So that's shortened to "be mine." It's about relationship. And when God wants us to be holy, it's not because God wants to limit our fun, or God wants to give us a boring life. That's not the life in Christ anyway. It's not because God wants to restrict us or tell us no. God wants us to be holy because holy is good. And we have to be holy to have a relationship with God. And relationship with God is good. I want to remind you, do you pray to God? Do you open His Word or open your Bible? Do you access God's Word? Many different ways we can do that. Do you hear God's Word? Do you think about God? All these things are relationship, and when you do that, God, He loves it. He loves it like we enjoy relationships. We understand that. You have friends, relatives, loved ones. Maybe you have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse. But we have relationships, and God enjoys that too. James 1:26. So let's get into what holiness looks like. Here's a great example, James 1:27, short verse. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. In our day and age, the word religion gets a bad rap. If you bring up with someone the topic of, "Hey, what do you think about religion?" Watch out. It may not be good. It may not be a good response. But Scripture tells us religion, when it is pure and as it should be, it's about helping people who need help. And it's about being different, keeping yourself unstained from the world. And then I want to get into, these next two passages, one is Romans, the other is 1 Peter 1:13, and I want to compare these two. These are two passages, one's written by the inspired writer Paul, the other the inspired writer Peter, and look at how they line up. So we'll start with Romans 12:1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then let's look at 1 Peter 1:13, which says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that you will be that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We have a few different things here. One, to start out, both of them reference this idea of sacrifice. And the way Peter writes it, he says, as obedient children. Obedient children submit. And the life of a Christian, each one of us comes to God with desires that we cannot act on as Christians. We can't. Because God says don't. And God says don't because it will hurt us. And so God is a loving father. So we come to God with things that we have to deny about ourselves. We have to suppress. We have to resist. It's called submission. It's not a word that's popular in our culture, but it's our walk. It's what we have agreed to with God, and it's a wise choice because submitting to God Almighty, he's a loving master. And Scripture points out, incidentally, that everyone submits to a master. They just don't know it. Everyone on earth is either submitting to God or submitting to Satan. And I'll clarify that in a moment even further. But submission, it's something that doesn't sound good, but it's a part of our journey as Christians. A living sacrifice. That means we give up some things. We don't do some things. We don't talk like the world talks. We don't act like the world acts. Because we are surrendering to our master, Jesus Christ. So, that's one part of this. Second, notice that they both mention holiness. That this is our walk. Be holy in all your conduct. Be different. We should stand out. We should have a hard time fitting in, which is challenging because our human nature is a desire to fit in. We want to blend. We want to be accepted. We want to be a part. We don't want to stand out. And that's why we need each other as our fellowship, our comfort. But holiness, be morally pure. And then look at this part in clarification. This idea, do not be conformed to this world. Conform, and both of them use that that word, that idea, don't be conformed. When things spend time together, they act like each other. One of the things that I eat that is healthy, and I eat it so I can eat more unhealthy things that I enjoy. But I eat frozen peas. I don't eat them frozen, of course. I heat them up, but I eat peas, and not canned peas, not frozen sweet peas. Okay, but when I take them out of the freezer, they will be any type of odd shape you can imagine because they're going to be the shape of whatever they contoured against in the freezer. They're going to get frozen a certain way, that bag. And it will be like whatever it was next to. It spent time there, it froze that way, thawed, then froze. That's what it's going to be until it's changed. I mean, this idea of conformed, we understand it, but something I want to point out to you, culture changes. You and I are much more like American 2021 culture than we are any other culture. Even go back 100 years, American 1921 culture, what was that like? American 1821 culture, 1721 culture. Go anywhere in time. Any other group of people, guess who we are very similar to this time and day and the people that we're around. And not all of that's good. A lot of it's not. Some of it is good. A lot of it's not. What I want to plant a seed that says if we think a lot like this world and we act a lot like this world, we may very well be conforming to this world. So a part of holiness is being different. We have to resist that. We have to, guess who we conform to? God. And the more time we spend around God, I remember growing up, my mom would answer the phone. This isn't a bad thing, but it makes a great illustration. Sorry, Mom. But she would answer the phone, and I'd play a little game. And the game was called, guess who's on the other end of the phone line? Because Mom would just naturally, and this is a human thing. You do this too. Mom naturally would start to kind of talk like this other person, whoever she's talking to. And I could, I got pretty good at it. I could oftentimes tell you who's on the other line just by how she's talking. The more time we spend with God, the more we sound holy. The more we sound good, pure. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's fruit of the Spirit. Those are good things. All right, Ephesians 4:17. And a great passage here about holiness. Verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we have a whole passage here. It talks about a lot of things. You can tell in this passage that there's the tone of how you used to live and how the world lives, and they are, their understanding is not clear. They don't see truth as you see it. And the whole thing culminates in what we want to be. We want to be our new self, created in the likeness of God, made to look like God in holiness. So there's some concepts here that these are frightening to me. These scare me quite a bit, because Scripture talks about people who are lost or people in the world and they're darkened. We have hardness of heart and we have deceitful desires. Let's start with deceitful desires. We desire things that are not good for us. That's what God is telling us. The sin is not good for us. It will kill us spiritually. And it's not good for us in an earthly life. And we desire that. And that deceives us. It fools us. Sometimes you want something. Have you ever wanted something and convinced yourself it was good? I've eaten oatmeal cookies before and told myself that's healthy, because oatmeal, as you know, oats are good for you. I had blueberry pancakes last night with a good deal of syrup, and the blueberries are really good for you. Really good. Really good. It's amazing how you and I can look at something that is not good for us and convince ourselves it is. We have thoughts and opinions and about what is good and what is bad in life. And it's all here. And the scary thing is, your mind is one of the most dangerous things to you, because your mind can trick you. Bias. Every Saturday in the fall, I watch sporting events on TV. Thousands of people in the stands. When the official makes a call, you and I, anyone watching, knows exactly how that home crowd is going to react. If a call goes against the home team, they're not going to be happy, period. I don't care how obvious it is, the officials got it right. The crowd's not going to like it. We're biased. We have deceitful desires. And the idea I want to plant with you from Scripture warns us, be careful. Be careful. Some things we convince ourselves that something is good or right, it may not be. It may not be. And this is our, Scripture is our answer for what is right and is not right. And then it gets more frightening from there, because people can become callous with the hardness of heart, to where it is more difficult for them to see what is true and what is right and what they need to see. And then I want to share this quote. Now, this is an older quote. This gentleman passed away in 2017, born in 22. But he makes a very profound statement, and I want to share it with you. He says, Satan disguises submission to himself under the ruse of personal autonomy. He never asks us to become his servants. Never once did the serpent say to Eve, I want to be your master. The shift in commitment is never from Christ to evil. It is always from Christ to self. And instead of his will, self-interest now rules, and what I want reigns, and that is the essence of sin. It's profound, because Satan oftentimes doesn't tempt us to, you know, to go directly against God. He just tempts us to go with us. How about what you want? How about what you like? And so when I preach on these topics, I'm not telling you how bad you are for wanting things. I'm telling you, God is leading you to what's good for you. God is good, and he wants us to have what's good. That's what holiness is about. Jesus warns his disciples, and in John 17, this is toward the end of Jesus' life. He's about to be crucified, and he has this prayer. And in talking to God, he says, this is Jesus talking to the Father. He says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Not of the world. Does that sound like holy? Right? Different, separate. Someone has asked the question, how do you remain holy in a world that laughs at holiness? Jesus put it this way, in a world that hates holiness. And the answer is, it's not easy. When Jesus had some free time, and I don't know if that's the best way to say that, but when he had some free time, what do you remember Scripture saying that he would do? Jesus didn't do some of the things we do as far as recreation. But in Scripture, when you read about Jesus, when he has some downtime, oftentimes he's in prayer to God. We sang a song a minute ago, I Need Thee Every Hour. I really like that song. That's a good one. That's a good one. I Need Thee Every Hour. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer, and that's how you do it. Let's read on here, though. Verse 15, Jesus says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus says, he says to the Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. So it's the same for you and I. God does not call us to separate from society in a drastic way, like a convent. He's not asking us to set up our own, you know, place like in Waco, where the incident there years ago, where we have a compound and we cut off from society. That's not what Jesus is asking us. And one reason is, how is the world going to hear about Jesus if Christians are not in the world? We have to be in the world. Our job is to influence them. Our job is so that the world conforms to Christ. So we have to be in the world, but Jesus prayed this prayer, God protect them. So we need to be around worldly people, but we need distance spiritually so that those worldly people don't cause us to stumble. We're trying to lead them to holiness. And then he makes this great statement in verse 17, sanctify them. And the word sanctify comes from the same word that's translated holy. It means make them holy, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so I want to make a very important point here. We just read a scripture that talks about how deceitful our own mind is. We can deceive ourselves. We can harden our hearts. We can believe things that are false and we're convinced they're right and good. What's the answer? This is the answer. The Holy Word of God. The Holy Word of God. Have you ever noticed the less that you read this, the more you come up with your own thoughts, and they tend to be a lot like the world? You ever spent some time in this and had your eyes opened, or had it crack open your heart to the point where you say, God, I'm not where I thought I was. I thought I was walking pretty good with you, and I'm not. Because this will convict you. This will speak to you. It is powerful, the Word of God. And one Sunday a week with the preacher running us through some, it's not enough. Not to mention of if there were ever a society that should be in the Word of God often, it's us. We have so many ways to do it. So many ways. Anywhere, everywhere. Are you standing at a checkout line and you have 2 minutes to kill? Instead of looking through something else, pull the Bible app open. The Word of God. We need to be in it. We'll wrap up with these two scriptures. 1 John 1:7 and Philippians 2:14. So we're answering the question, what does holiness look like? 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. And that's an active verb in the Greek, ongoing cleansing, continues to cleanse us from all sin. Not some sin, not your misdemeanor sins. This is all sin. This is your felony sins, all of them. The blood of Jesus. If you are perfect, no. None of us are perfect. Just walk with God. Just hang out with God. Walk in the light. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice how Scripture says things that God knows we're going to need to hear. All. I didn't say most of your sins. I said all of your sins. So we have to continue to walk in the light. We are going to stumble, but we need to confess. And then Philippians says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. Does that sound holy? Without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is what holiness looks like. Blameless and innocent. Doesn't mean we've never stumbled. Doesn't mean we didn't stumble yesterday. But Jesus' blood covers us because we walk where God walks. We walk with God. And then what do? We shine as lights. When I was a kid, this was probably 13, 14 years old. I didn't have a job yet, wasn't old enough, but my sister did. And Yvette worked at D&L Snack Shack. Am I right? I've got three that I'm conferring with. I have three nods. D&L Snack Shack was a little diner, little hamburger joint in Shakota, Oklahoma. Legendary. Anyway, I remember she would come home from work, and she would walk in. I could tell if she had been somewhere else or if she had been at work, because if she had been at work, she comes in smelling like hamburgers. I can smell the onions. I can smell the what hamburgers smell like. And I thought it smelled great, personally. But it was kind of neat. She would, I think she complained about it, got tired of that after a while. But I thought it was pretty good. I like how hamburgers smell. So sis came home smelling good. But I knew where she had been. And Scripture tells us we will shine like God to the world if we walk with God. Just spend time with God. We'll sound like God. And I don't mean some profoundly greater, you know, greater than thou, uppity, self-righteous. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking good, morally pure, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, those things. We'll sound like God, we'll look like God, and draw a lost world to Him. We're going to sing a great song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. I think this song speaks to all of us. We want to be more like God, and that's good, and God wants that too. And we also know how we fail, but God never wants our failure to keep us from walking with Him. So we're going to sing this song. If you have a need this morning, we would love to help you, assist you. If we need to pray with you, we'd love to do that. If there's one that you've not given your life to Christ in baptism, had your sins washed away, we'd love to help you with that. If you would come while we stand and sing.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit. The joy of my salvation.